Welcome to the Beat Red Podcast 2026. This is a podcast where we talk about all things embarrassing. We tell our embarrassing stories. We love it when you tell your embarrassing stories. We share your embarrassing stories too when you are too scared to attach your name to it. You want to go anonymous? That is totally fine. You want to tell it yourself? We love that too. You. Anyway, we're here to bring laughter, levity to your day. God knows we need it right now in these trying times.
Yes.
And yeah, that's why we're here. We love you guys. And let's turn beat red.
Let's turn beat red. How's your week?
How's your week?
Maybe you did it. 2026. How was it? How are you feeling? You just like pop into the 2026.
We got Christmas to talk about. We got New Year's to talk about. We got the things.
What'd you feel?
Well, it was embarrassing for me because, so on actual Christmas, my mom wanted to host at her house because she usually does. And that was totally fine. But I was going to do a bulk of the cooking to relieve her of that. So I was making ham. I was making mashed potatoes made a million times. I was making green bean casserole, mac and cheese. Whoa. And the mashed potatoes. So I have a brand new oven to me. It's not new, but it's new to me in this new house that we've moved into. I cooked the mashed potatoes at Thanksgiving, I just want to say, and they were fantastic.
Foreshadow. Bum, bum, bum.
Just want to put that disclaimer on it.
You've had a successful, delicious, mashed potato dinner before.
And I've made those mashed potatoes a million times for years and years and years. So it's like, I don't even think about it,
Yeah.
So I chopped them up, threw them in the pot, put them on boil. And I was like, oh, let me multitask. Cause of course I'm running behind and doing 8 million things.
Yeah.
Ran upstairs to go do my makeup, which only takes 30 minutes. And I come back down to the potatoes literally exploding on the stove.
Like
they are shooting out. It's like a potato arsenal just flying everywhere. They're popping. They're overflowing. Like I've had it before where they overflow in the pot and just the water boils over and then you just turn it down. You put a wooden spoon in it. Yeah. You cover it. It's fine. This was not that. This was all in within 30 minutes, all of the water had boiled out and they had turned into essentially mashed potatoes and they were popping out. I got burned. Mirage has a third degree burn on his nose.
What?
It literally like took off his skin.
Oh my
God. I was like, oh shit. Here's me starts like screaming and he runs in from the next room. He's like, what's going on? And I'm like, these potatoes are exploding everywhere. And he was like, oh my God. So like I kept trying to go over and turn off the stove. But every time I got close, they like splashed in my face, splashed in my hair, splashed on me. They're on the ceiling. They're on the cupboards. They're on the other pots and pans.
So
they're on
they're
my
on
olive
the
oil bottle. They're on my windows. They're on my rug. They're literally everywhere. It's a shit show.
What the hell?
And finally he's like, get the lid. And I'm like, I don't know where the lid is. And I'm just like freaking out. And he finally like gets the lid. He goes over to put the lid on. And in that time, the potatoes like splashed up and like scalded him on his nose. He literally has like a third degree burn, patch of skin missing on his nose.
No.
And we got it covered and then we're able to turn it off. And obviously I could not salvage them. They were completely ruined. Glue everywhere all over my kitchen. So that was fun. I was embarrassed and also sad that I now did not have mashed potatoes to bring.
Oh my God. And then you're
Christmas
like, but
dinner.
I cannot help the people. I would have been like, it's canceled. Like Christmas is canceled. Everybody
And I
go,
also had to be there
over.
In like 20 minutes. So I was like, well, I'm not dealing with this right now.
So you come back and it's like cement.
Oh yeah, it was. It was like glue everywhere. And I had to deal with that the next day. I'm still cleaning it. I'm finding it in like little crevices and places and little things. It's on like little tiny ceramics and plants. Like it's everywhere. Like it sputtered everywhere into my kitchen. It was a potato explosion.
It was a, wow.
That was my embarrassing moment from Christmas.
It's embarrassing, but it's also like, oh God, you took one for the team.
Yeah. And then I took my family.
Did you figure out what happened? Was it just too hot?
Honestly, I've never left them unattended. And that was my biggest problem. Yeah, it was too hot. Like, basically, it was unlike anything I've ever seen. I had a gas stove before. It took a lot longer to heat up. It would take sometimes 2 hours. I mean, I would make a big batch, but it would take forever to boil these freaking potatoes.
Yeah.
So I didn't think in 30 minutes I would have, like, mashed potato glue, like, exploding in my kitchen. So it was, but, to be fair, Thanksgiving, I didn't leave him unattended because I was cooking, like, 8 million other things. And this, I was like, I made things ahead of time and, like, you know, yeah, it's the way it went down. But yeah, it's a great story.
It's really good.
Third degree burns on Christmas.
I'm like touching my nose right now. I hope he's okay. It'll be all right. You know what really works is aloe. Any kind of burn,
he's
aloe.
Okay. He's okay. Fine. Good. He survived.
Great.
And then we went to New York for a day because Sebastian and Mirage never been. And that also sucked because, you know, I wanted them to see all the, like, you know, Sebastian loves Home Alone, loves Big, like all those movies. So I wanted him to go to FAO Schwartz and I wanted him to see Times Square and Central Park and like all the little landmarks, you know, from Home Alone. And, you know, when I went to FAO Schwartz years ago, you just walked in, there was a 2-hour line. So we didn't get to go to FAO Schwartz.
What?
A 2-hour line. Because we went the 29th, like right before New Year's, which was a terrible time
it
worked out. Yeah. So it was bumper to bumper, like just even more than usual in the city. And it was just nuts. So they did not have a great time, but we did have a good meal, a Bad Roman.
Oh, cool.
It's like by Central Park in that shopping plaza. So good. Like, definitely recommend that place. Phenomenal handmade pasta. Like, I felt like I was back in LA. Like, it was so good. So,
That was
almost worth the trip, I have to say. But,
you know, I gotta say, that's kind of a New York trip. Like, nothing ever works out. your subway won't come, or like, you'll just, you know, it's part of the whole thing, you know?
It's part of the experience. No, I was like, we'll go back to like Brooklyn and we'll go in the off season and we'll go to FAO Schwartz when it's not, you know, a 2-hour wait to get in the door.
How far are you?
That'll be better. 4 hours.
Okay, wow.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm so jealous. I miss New York these days a lot. I miss
being there.
You got
to get out here and visit and we'll go.
I will, 100%. I always feel like, you know, when I was in New York, when I lived there, I was like just lost. Just like a rolling stone, just getting my butt kicked at every turn. Just like down for the count, back up, down again. But now with my family and I love my life. It's like, we would love to take everyone there. So, yeah.
Yeah, you guys would have the best time.
I miss it.
And how was your Christmas and
New
Year's?
I'm just going to say it was fine. And then I watched Stranger Things and I loved it.
Now, you
and
don't
I
get to just gloss
I
over
can't,
that. What
I
happened?
Can't.
You got
I
a someone?
I will
face.
Get in trouble if I talk about my
what
Christmas.
What do you mean? have to.
We all got norovirus, and then my dad came, and then my dad was like, I'm going to take over you. You go back to bed, Missy. I'm going to watch your son. Now, come on. And then he gets totally sick, down for the count, sleeping in the background. He's like 80 years old. So it's like he got really sick, and then—
He got norovirus too?
He got a cold. So we had norovirus the week before he came, and then Elliot still got a cold again. Like, he got something else because— You know, he loves him and my husband love Chuck E. Cheese. And I gotta say, that place should be exterminated. Like,
yeah.
So then that happened. And then we went up to Santa Barbara and that was really chaotic. And, and then we came back and, you know, we've had 3 days of just like, we've all just slept. We just have been sleeping and watching Stranger Things, sleeping.
Wasn't Stranger Things so good?
It was so good. I cried my eyes out.
We won't give anything away, but yeah.
No, but I
loved it. It got a lot of hate. Like, but I'm sorry. It's really hard to like wrap up a show.
It
like,
is.
I was
and
like,
I usually
I love
hate
Stephen
endings.
King, but he's horrible with endings. Like, Stephen King is notoriously bad with endings, and I love him. And it's just like, it's really hard to wrap something up that has been a part of pop culture for 10 years. And I think they did a great job personally.
I do too.
I did enjoy it. Like, you know,
it's thought provoking. I thought about it the next day and the day after. And I mean, I think it was perfect. I think the ending was perfect. Come at me, haters.
So many people said too, though, they're like, the problem is when you go with these big gaps between the seasons, that you lose a little bit of the steam for the characters and the emotions and all of that. But also you have all of these like super fans that are coming up with better ideas than you did. And I mean, some of the theories that I like came across on TikTok were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
And yeah, it would have been better, quote unquote, but like, I think they did a good job considering. And I think more than anything right now, like, I will appreciate a feel good ending. And like, you know, it's a nice, actually, maybe we shouldn't say that. Is that a spoiler?
Wasn't a feel
that's
good
a spoiler.
Ending to me. So it's like, we're like, definitely,
it's kind of a spoiler. Some people die. We will say some people die, but you know. It was beautiful. I thought it was beautiful.
Yeah, me too. Me too. It's art.
Yeah.
We need art more than ever. I saw a really amazing movie called The Corral, which is so good. I won't give anything away, but like, it's with Ralph Fiennes.
What's that on?
Well, you can't see, you have to see it in the theater, but it'll eventually come out. Yeah, I loved it. And then I saw Train Dreams, which was amazing. And then I saw, I mean, like my dad and I and John watched movies every night, that you know, of the holiday. So we saw a lot of good stuff.
I love that.
Yeah. Next year, Paris, baby. Paris for New Year's.
You're going to Paris next year?
No, I'm putting it out there. I really want to be, I want to be there.
Okay. Well, you should then. I'm putting that out there for you, too. I think you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
Maybe we'll tour then, and we'll tour in Paris.
Yes. Let's go. Invite us, Paris. Sponsor us.
Sponsor us, Paris.
S'il vous plaît. S'il vous plaît. Okay. Do you want to kick us off? Let's just do some laughing. Let's get into these stories.
Let's get into it.
Okay. Give me my fix. You want to start?
I will start. Okay. My first story comes from Quora, and Michael Bates writes, I was 23 years old, and I'd spent the previous 5 years working full-time as a one-on-one aide for a disabled teenager. I was employed by the family, and they treated me like a son. Their actual son, the one I took care of, passed away in March of that year. Suddenly, I was unemployed. Fortunately, I'd made plenty of connections in the special needs community over my 5 years working with that family, so finding another job was pretty easy. I took a classroom aide position with the local junior high school. It was only a 2-month position since it was so late in the school year, but it was exactly what I needed while I reevaluated my career path. I was almost 2 years out of college by then, but still doing the same thing I did while I was in college because it paid well enough. There was one teacher and 3 other aides in the special ed classroom. They were all very friendly, but also very laid back. It's only now, some 15 years later, and with several years of teaching experience, that I can see just how laid back the teacher in that classroom was. Oh, I feel like that's like the wrong class to be laid back in.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you should be attentive and be paying attention to what's going on.
A game. Exactly.
There was a public park right next to the school. It was spring by then, and the students were all getting antsy to go outside. The teacher allowed the aides to take the special ed students to the public park when the school's playground got too crowded with the regular ed students. You could see one playground from the other. There was about 200 yards between them. So it was on one particularly nice day that I offered to take a few of the students to the public park. The teachers agreed and assigned 3 students to me, 2 girls and 1 boy. She told me the other students and aides would be 5 minutes behind me. The 4 of us were about halfway to the public park when one of the students, a 14-year-old girl with some sort of intellectual disability, got excited, screamed, and started running towards the park. She took her shirt off all the way. She was not wearing a bra.
Oh, no.
The school's playground was crowded with regular education students close enough to see what was going on. Oh. So there I was, forced to chase a topless 14-year-old girl with her shirt in my hand. No. I'd picked it up, trying to get her to put it back on. The whole time I was thinking, someone's going to call the cops. I'm going to get arrested. Yeah, there's no way anyone's going to believe she just ran and took her shirt off on her own. Yeah, I'm like, that is like, that's humiliating and shocking and like so really scary. Is. She ran to the public park and sat on a swing. I ran to her and gave her the shirt and I asked her to please put it back on. She did and laughed about it. The whole ordeal probably lasted only 20 seconds, but in my mind, it seemed to go on for hours. Yeah. Soon, the other 2 students joined me. They didn't think anything of what had just happened. Then my coworkers and the rest of the class came out. I explained what happened and they just said, yeah, she's done that before. That's why we don't let her get too far ahead. No one told me that bit of advice.
Don't let her
get too far ahead of you. She's a runner. My coworkers, including the special ed teacher, all seemed to just laugh it off like it was some sort of initiation for me.
No.
But I was mortified.
Yeah, she's like a nudist.
I was like, oh my God.
She wants to feel the
wind. But no,
wind.
It's the underage part too that's just terrifying.
Yeah,
like you're a dude with a 14-year-old with her shirt off running and you're like,
also, those teachers probably should get fired.
I know. They're like, we didn't tell you.
Let's
like, oh, it's
them.
Fine.
And that poor little girl's just like, woo, I'm
yeah, it happens.
Again. Yeah, but that is very embarrassing. Because, like, out of context, you know, that guy gets tackled and, like, you know, rolled into the jail cell.
Yeah, he's like, they're calling the cops. It's over.
He's like, please put this on. Please put this on. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. That's embarrassing. Well, my first one is from Reddit, and Moldy Jim writes, my wife and I were eating dinner at a nice sushi restaurant in Vancouver. Across the aisle, a young couple were celebrating the man's birthday. Apparently, it was his plan to ask the girl to marry him that night. He had the ring out and started on his proposal, and that's the end of the story.
Oh, how beautiful. That's so sweet.
She, however, had already made other plans for the night. Buckle up. This is so weird. Right in the middle. So he's about to propose. Right in the middle of this. Another woman walks up dressed as a homeless cat lady. She sits down with them and starts spouting nonsense, asking all kinds of embarrassing questions, eating food off their plates, and being obnoxious. The guy tries to keep going with the proposal. The girl is trying to wave off her friend. So she brought this
friend in. She knows the person? She knows the cat lady?
Yes. And so the guy says, I think she had arranged for her friend to dress up and jump in the middle of dinner as a joke on the boyfriend, not knowing his plans. So he's like going to propose. It's a beautiful place. For some reason, this lady's like, hey, you know what would be really funny? You dress up like a homeless lady, eat food off our plates, ruin our lives and our date. And we'll just laugh it off later. Like, this is happening right there. So he keeps trying to propose.
Does he have the ring out at this point?
He's got
I'm wondering.
I think I imagine him being like, will you marry me? And then just like, you know, this cat lady. So we just sat there eating our sushi and feeling bad for the poor guy. The cat lady was still chattering away when we left. So that lady did not get the social cue. She didn't see the ring, or if she did, she didn't care. She was like in character, like lost in the moment. The guy was totally deflated. The girl looked resigned to trying to survive the night. She must have told the cat lady, keep going no matter what I say. Well, she did.
So she didn't want to marry him, clearly.
She didn't know he was going to propose.
Yeah, but once she saw the ring or that he was proposing, then if she really wanted to, she would have stopped it.
She was like trying to wave her off, being like, stop, stop, stop. And the lady kept going. I know, right? That's such a weird story.
Yeah.
It's such a weird story. It's embarrassing, but it's also like, what? It's a Twilight Zone. I felt so bad for the poor guy, set up a romantic dinner to propose and gets a visit from a crazy cat lady instead. Wonder if they ever got married in the end. Right?
Hopefully not, maybe.
I'm thinking like, we don't like that for him. You know, there's nothing like someone who's brave and just says, we're spending the rest of our lives together. And then someone who's a prankster. Those opposites should not have attracted.
I don't know. I'm honestly wondering if it was a prank or if it was maybe just somebody that she knew in passing. Like maybe it was somebody she knew from the gym.
Why would she do that?
Well, there are weirdos, people who don't get clues and will sit down and just like sabotage your meal.
Yeah.
But it seems I hope that's the case, honestly, and not that she just like, that's weird.
If she didn't know her, it's very weird. You get up and you say like, garçon, like maître d'. I'm speaking in French in case we.
Or I would just be like, let's go. And then he could do the proposal somewhere else.
So you're like, put the ring back in your pocket. We'll be right outside.
I'd be like, let's just go. Like, this is weird.
I like that. Weird. I like the whole like, oh, excuse us. Like, this is weird. We're going to go.
Enjoy the bread.
You pay for everything.
See you later.
We're out.
Enjoy my leftover ravioli.
It's just such a weird story.
Let's call it a night. Yeah, that's very weird.
Leftover ravioli from the
Bizarro. Okay.
Bizarro.
My next story comes from Quora, and Paula Gutierrez writes, a few summers ago, I used to babysit the children of my ex-teacher, Linda. This particular day, I was doing extra hours because Linda and her husband wanted to go on a nighttime date to the opera. I decided to leave after I finished my usual hours and come back later when it was time for them to go. I took a train across town and called my friend to meet up so we could eat lunch. When I was returning, the train I usually took wasn't working, and I had no choice but to take a train I'd never been on, one that would leave me 25 minutes in walking distance from my actual destination.
I hate it when that happens.
But it wasn't all bad because during the train ride, I met an insanely cute boy who wanted to get to know me and asked me out on a date. Because I was now disoriented from the train, when I got off, I called Linda to kindly send me directions. Hey, Linda, I'm not sure where I am because I had to take the L train due to delays. Do you mind sending me directions? Sure. I hung up the phone. See, Linda and I maintained a very professional relationship. Our conversations were quick and only about work, and that's it. I felt my phone vibrate as soon as I was going to click Linda's notification. Oh, that reminded me, I forgot to text my friend about the mystery man from the train. I texted my friend. Hey, I just got off the train. You will not believe what just happened. I met this really cute guy. He was so hot, and he asked me out right now. But obviously, I couldn't go because I'm taking care of these kids. These kids are driving me crazy.
Oh, no. I don't. Where this is going.
I don't even like kids. Why am I doing this? I wish I hadn't agreed to this. Do you think Linda would kill me if I canceled?
Oh.
She'd probably freak out. I told you how crazy she is about the opera. And I'm only 20 minutes away when I have to pee so bad. Damn it. After sending all those texts, I get a single text back. Just get here, please. What?
Shit.
Just get here? Why is my friend telling me to get here? Where is here? I looked up at the recipient name of the chat. Linda. Linda! Fuck! I had mindlessly clicked the text button for my most recent contact on my outgoing calls list. Linda was my last call. At this point, I still hadn't put two and two together, or more accurately, I was in complete denial. My body was probably numbing me from dying of mortification. Yeah. When I finally reached Linda's house, 5 minutes late, by the way, the tension in the air was so thick you could cut it with a knife.
She's like, so you think I'm crazy, so you hate kids, so you're in charge of my kids. So
she said all the worst things to her. She's like, fuck this woman and her stupid ass kids. I don't even like them.
She's like, I want to cancel. Like,
she just looked at me with a stern face, called her husband over, and rushed out. Her husband followed and said to order pizza and shut the door. This was never spoken about. Not when they came back, not the next day, not for the rest of the summer. To this day, I still don't know if the fact that Linda never brought it up made it better or worse.
I mean, I don't think I would ever want someone with my kids who didn't like kids. I'd be like, you're fired.
I know. I don't care how crazy I'm about opera. If I read that text, I'd be like, oh, fuck this bitch. Don't worry about it. You're done.
You're done.
But obviously, she is that crazy about opera because she's like, all right, just take care of my kids tonight and for the rest of the summer. Like,
for the whole summer. Care.
Yeah. She's like, you don't like me, you don't like my kids, and whatever. Just do it.
Oh my God. Having been a nanny, that there are so many parents that do not care. They do not care. I mean, there are parents that do, obviously, but there are parents that just are like, oh.
Can you imagine? Can you know why I'm doing this. I don't even like kids. If I read that from a sitter, like,
You're like, never again. No, never again. Fired. Canceled.
Isn't that crazy?
That's really
crazy. I thought
that
was funny, and I thought you would appreciate it as a former nanny.
Well, and my palms are sweating because it so happens so often. I've done that before where I just texted someone that was not supposed to be texted.
Yeah.
And then I had to go see them. Oh, God, that's awful. That's a really bad one.
It's
in a
funny.
Good way. In the best way. Okay, my next one is from Tony from Caldwell, Idaho. And he writes, about 6 months ago, we started potty training our son. The first couple of weeks were pretty grueling, but eventually he caught on for the most part. We got to the point where accidents were pretty infrequent, and it seemed like the whole operation was a huge success. As he was potty training, our son also progressed, as almost all children do when they're two. He started talking more. An innate curiosity began to manifest where he wanted to understand everything. And unfortunately so did a defiant streak a mile wide. So I was going to say, Elliot's in that phase too. Mostly this defiance only showed itself in the form of temper tantrums and fits until about a month ago. I was shopping with my son at Target on a rainy day and foolishly allowed him to be freed from the confines of the shopping cart. At first, he was fine, just sort of exploring the aisles as he shopped, occasionally knocking things over, but was very good about picking them up, putting things back. And then we got to the toy section. I told him he could pick out one thing from the stuffy aisle, but his thirst for toys would not be quenched so easily.
Oh, no. My kid was strapped in. Oh. Like, he was allowed. He was never allowed to free roam because he was wild. He was pulling things down from the cart strapped in. Like, yeah. Oh. He was so wild. Yeah.
So, well, he said he wanted a big talking Moana doll. It was a large and expensive item, and there was no way I was going to buy it there on the spot. He was undeterred, and his fury at my unrelenting denials rose to a fever pitch. He threw the doll down, ripped down his pants, and started peeing on the doll right in the face, to be specific.
Oh, no.
He was like, you give me what I want.
No.
And peed.
He marked it.
On Moana's face. He peed on her face. And there's like other people there just being like,
He gave Moana a golden shower. That is so inappropriate.
That is so inappropriate. What are you doing? This was a busy Sunday at Target where there were people everywhere just watching my son just piss all over Moana's face. Perhaps I shouldn't have let him finish peeing. Perhaps I should have picked him up, but neither of us had a change of clothes and we're quite a ways from home.
Once and also you pick him up and then he's just like a little fire hose just spraying everywhere.
And you're drenched in your face, maybe.
And on whatever else.
Once he stopped, I threw him over my shoulder, bought the piss-soaked doll at the self-checkout, and informed a clerk that cleanup was needed in the toys section. I go to a
different
Target
now. Well, at least
they
bought it. That was nice instead of just leaving the piss-soaked doll there.
Just people walking by being like, what happened here? Is that piss?
They're like, this aisle kind of stinks.
That's also so defiant. Like, that kid just, like, needed to get what he wanted, so he peed on. I would never allow him to go into a store again.
I'd be like I said, done. Sebastian never free roamed. I don't think I let him down from the cart until he was like maybe 6 or 7.
Really?
like,
and he didn't
was
fight
so
you?
Crazy.
He didn't fight you?
He kind of did, but I was just like, this is, he just got used to it too. Like, I try to do most of my shopping without him.
Yeah, when he
was in, you know, daycare and stuff. But when he was younger, yeah, like it was.
Because he would just be like, I want that.
Oh, yeah. Like, they want everything.
Okay. Yeah.
They want all the things.
Well, Elliot gets out and does, and just roams, but he's also like, yeah, he's starting to throw tantrums too. So this is my worst nightmare. Thanks a lot.
It's fun. Yeah, that's a rough one.
That's tough, man.
Oof. Yeah, I will say, yeah, he's definitely like thrown plenty of tantrums in plenty of stores that I've had to just pick him up kicking and screaming and exiting. Like that one story that we read where the guy was like arrested because they thought it wasn't his kid. Like I've had to do that 8 million times. But yeah, he's never peed on a toy. So that's a win, good. I guess. That's something.
Yeah.
Oof. Okay. My next story comes from Cora, and Jack Martin writes, I was freaking starving. All I wanted to do was eat. That morning, oh, that fateful morning, I woke up late and I didn't have enough time for a sufficient breakfast. I spent the first 3 hours of my internship looking for a place for lunch on Google Maps. I love that. That's so me. I will just look and see what I want to eat like forever. After deciding I was in the mood for Asian cuisine, I picked a spot close to the office building I was working out of, about a 5-minute walk. As soon as the clock hit 11:30 a.m., I was out the door. Like I said, I was freaking starving. I hustled down Chicago's busy financial district in my oversized dress shoes, ignoring the burn of the former blister on the back of my heel. All I wanted was food. The restaurant I picked was in a confusing spot in the lobby of an office building on Jackson Street. Do you know where that is?
No. No.
Me either. And took me several minutes to find. I walked through the building at least twice before finally spotting the Wow Bao logo I'd seen on Google Maps. Finally, I took a sharp left. I put my head down and I power walked towards the giant propped open glass door, which was the entrance.
So you get off the subway and you're like, now I got to go. This all the way there, like it's
yeah,
like
it's so far
away.
And you're so hungry.
You never get there,
or so I thought. My knee hit the glass first, quickly followed by my right hand, nose, then forehead. Clink. Oh. Wildly confused and disoriented from just smacking my head, I looked with the face of betrayal at what I thought was an entrance. I had just walked into a glass wall. I put my hands against the glass in disbelief, bewildered at the fact that there was no entrance in front of me when I noticed the collective expression of everyone on the other side. Oh, God, and everybody, I mean everybody in the entire restaurant saw it.
Were they laughing their ass off?
Through the wall, I heard a couple of, ooh, chuckling, ouch. And I'm pretty sure someone said, hey, is that guy all right? Immediately, I turned and I began to walk out of the building, passing the security guard on the left who was laughing so hard he couldn't even ask if I was all right. I left the building in a flash, walking back the way I came as if I'd forgotten something. It was, without question, the most awkward and embarrassing situation I've ever been in. I love that he's like a bird freaking hitting the glass. Like he was so hungry. He finally got there. He power walked into the freaking door and it was a wall.
He was so hungry. And he had a blister on his foot and he had to walk all that way. And then he slams. And then, I'm sorry, I don't know why that's so funny. I've done it.
It is. But it imagine is so being in funny. The restaurant and there's like 100 people
hilarious.
In there and they just heard the loudest freaking clunk of this guy banging into it and they're
that's
all like
awful.
Holy shit,
it's
like
awful.
That's the funniest part.
Oh.
And then you look up with your little hands pressed to the glass,
you're like,
and everyone's staring at you and you're like, oh fuck, and you just turn around and just fucking leave. You're like still
you
hungry
see
still hungry.
Someone being like, is there a guy okay? You're like, oh damn, I gotta go.
And
but you're still so hungry.
Yeah.
I'm working on this thing where I want to have a go-to restaurant. Like I'm like, okay, today I'm going to this spot. Like this is where I need to be. But tomorrow, this is what I'm feeling. This is down the street. I know exactly where everything is. I don't have to Google anything. But
yeah.
I'm not there yet.
You'll get there. I mean, you got so many good places near you. You'll get there.
I do. I'm building my list.
I love that.
Is embarrassing though. And I don't know what it is. It's like this someone falling off a bike or something. As long as they're okay, it's so funny.
Well, yeah, exactly. When they're okay, it's hilarious. But that sucks.
I'm a terrible
the poor
person.
Guy was so freaking hungry.
Okay, so this is from our friend David in Highland Park. He wrote, a couple of years ago, I was hitting the dating apps pretty hard, and there are many embarrassing stories from that period of my life, but this was by far the most expensive one. I matched with this girl on Bumble who was visiting Southern California from New York. She was from here and staying at her parents' place in Pasadena. Normally, with these things, you just meet up somewhere, but it was during the pandemic, and people were wary of Ubers and taxis, so we decided I would just pick her up. The night of the date, it was raining pretty hard. At the time, I was driving an old BMW convertible that looked super cool, but had a lot of problems. One of those problems was that there was a problem with the electrical system, and occasionally my headlights would just cut out. And then
they always
come back
have
on.
So many freaking problems. BMWs are the worst.
A Beamer, a 318i, and I used to have to pull over and like change the fuses. I have a little fuse bag, and I have to.
They
change
get
the
so many problems, like the windows, all kinds of stuff.
I know.
Yeah, they do.
So his headlights would just go out. So that is not great on a rainy night.
No, that's terrible.
So I go to pick up this girl, and her folks live in a ritzy part, big old mansions. Running a little late, I drove faster than normal. I pull onto her street, and all of a sudden, the lights short out, and it was really dark out. Not a lot of street lights on her road, and very little ambient light from people's homes. All of a sudden, bam! I slam into a car parked on the road. I get out to examine the damage, and my heart just sinks. The car I hit was a vintage Porsche 911.
Oh,
911?
No.
Yeah. 911.
It was a Porsche 911.
It was a 911.
It was a 911 Porsche emergency.
Porsche police car.
Yeah.
I walk up to the house and knock on the door, and a giant older man answers the door. I explain what happened, and he is livid. He clearly loved the car, and it was going to take forever to repair. He started out being pretty understanding, but eventually just started yelling at me. I politely explained that I needed to send a quick text, and I step away to text my date. And immediately after I hit send, I hear a ding somewhere in the house. So he hit the car of her parent, of her dad.
Oh, ooh, that's worst case scenario.
Shortly thereafter, my supposed date came down a flight of stairs looking shocked. Needless to say, we did not end up going on the date.
Oh, wow. They didn't go on the date. Yeah.
No, because dad's like,
her dad's like, you're not going in a car with this guy with no freaking headlights.
Also, his car's probably totally not. Too. Yeah. Oh, so yeah, that's terrible, right?
Yeah.
So his premium's probably shot up through the roof. And then, I mean, it's so embarrassing.
Thanks
She's
to your
getting
friend.
Yelled up by this old dude, and then he's like, oh, that's my daughter. Oh, absolutely not.
What are the odds?
What are the odds? That's awful.
Okay, my last story comes from Cora, and Tom Hespos writes, I had some awkwardness from my time spent working with my dad's sprinkler business in the 80s. We serviced homes in the Hamptons on Eastern Long Island, which makes this story even funnier. Dad sent me out with Gus on a full day of service calls. Gus was a gifted technician, but he was also a rude alcoholic who came across as a great vulgarian to almost everyone he met.
Not great.
One of our service calls included a lady in Bridgehampton who had a leak in her sprinkler system's manifold. Gus and I got to work on it, getting rather muddy in the process. After a while, we discovered we didn't have the part we needed on the truck to complete the job, so we decided to run to the local sprinkler supply place to pick it up. Before we left, as it was standard practice, we let the homeowner know we're heading out to pick up a part and we'll finish and return later. So Gus goes to the door, his hands still muddy all the way up to the forearm, and he rings the doorbell with his elbow.
Yeah.
In between the time he rang the doorbell and when the homeowner came to the door, Gus sneezes and farts at the same time.
What? That's so weird.
He snorted.
That's crazy.
Snot rocketed out of his nose and started dribbling down his chin.
Wait, dude, get out of here. Push him
Gus
down.
Gus can't out of there. Wipe his face. He can't reach for anything because his hands are covered
this
in mud.
This is crazy.
All the way up to his elbow. But I'm like, couldn't he have done one of these?
This is like a perfect storm. That person's going to have to wipe that snot. Disgusting.
He's got it coming all the way down.
Gus,
you're
fired.
All the way down his face. So gross.
There's a no-snot policy.
The homeowner flings open the door to find an agitated troll of a man standing muddied on her doorstep with snot running down his face. Then the smell of his fart hit her.
Come on. This
the
is
homeowner
not
shrieked.
Fair. This is not fair. Gus. Oh.
Gus. The homeowner shrieks and slams the door in his face.
I'd be like, we don't want any thanks.
Never send that disgusting man to my home ever again was the message on the answering machine when we got back to the shop. It's like, oh,
that
God.
Is a triple punch.
You're the kid accompanying this person along for it. So you've got like the major secondhand embarrassment. This guy, he said he's an alcoholic. He's like always pissing everyone off. He's vulgar and crude. And he just happened to sneeze and fart in the 1 second between ringing the doorbell.
What does Gus do that night? What does a Gus do on the way home from
one, two, punch?
He went to a bar. Okay.
Covered in mud.
He's covered in mud and snot and farts, and I just can't.
So
I can't.
Gross.
I can't process it. I'm in sensory overload. This is too
much. But imagine
much.
Being that kid, just sitting there with him and watching that fart hit her face, and her seeing him in disgust. God. Like, it is really funny. That secondhand embarrassment is hilarious.
It's so
because you're associated with this guy. You work with this guy now. This is your freaking.
You're the face
boss sidekick.
Yes, you're the face.
Terrible.
Oh my God, that's crazy. That's a really good story. In the 80s, though. Oh,
in the 80s, even worse.
Okay. Woo. I wonder what Gus is doing now. At a bar. Okay, so. This is from Jim Euclid. He writes, 10 years ago, I was doing a martial arts grading. Our sensei is a brutal taskmaster, expecting 100% effort.
Mm.
You know how it goes. An hour in, I was tanked out, dripping with sweat, trembling with fatigue. That was when the sparring began, and I was being brutally hammered. Awful, right?
Yeah.
End of story. Just kidding. Now, there's a little known etiquette that if you're going to be sick, you discreetly use a vomit packet, which you carry in your gym bag.
Ew.
I mean, I've never heard
that's
that.
That's a thing? Like, for martial arts? Because people get kicked in the stomach all the time, probably?
Yeah, probably. Or, yeah, I guess, like, or if you're just
gag reflex.
Maxed out.
Throat chop.
Yeah, throat chop, you gotta just be ready.
Or just extreme exhaustion, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah. I like the throat chop, Katie.
Yeah, you got throat chop, move. You got kicked in the
gut. You kill someone with a throat chop. Okay, it's the last resort. So at the end of the third round of full contact sparring, or fifth, I can't remember, I hurried to my gym bag, realized I'd forgotten my puke packet, and decided to discreetly vomit into my gym bag instead. So this guy's like, oh, I got to throw up, Oh, and he just barfs into his bag. Okay. Ugh.
Wasn't there a trash can anywhere?
Yeah.
Isn't there like
can you run outside on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
After the award ceremony, one of the brown belt students came up to me. Dude, not cool. Apparently, I puked in his gym bag instead of my own. At the next class, I got a dozen snide remarks.
Did he know it was him?
Yeah,
he knew it was him.
If I saw it go down. Right? I would love it if the guy was like, dude, not cool, and then did a throat chop. Right?
But just imagine like, that kid's
go!
Face watching his bag getting puked into.
Oh,
he's like,
no. Yeah.
Ew.
Oh my God. All right. So yeah, he wanted to crawl under a rock and die.
I don't blame it.
That's our show.
We hope you loved it. If you did, please tell a friend, rate, review, and subscribe. That helps us move up the charts. And give us an email if you've got a beat red story of your own. You've got something embarrassing that happened to you. We want to hear about it. We promise you can be anonymous if you prefer, or you can even call us and tell us because we love that too.
Please. We love your voice. We love your emails. Please just keep them coming. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. La, la, la. And if you want to buy us a coffee, you can go to our Patreon page, which is listed in our show notes. And if you cannot beat them, join them.
See you next week.